Good morning, everyone. How are you? Good. Are you excited about another children's lesson? Good. Okay. I want to start off with a little activity. But what I need is, I'm trying to look around and see who I might pick. Christopher. We need several people, actually. But Christopher, I want you to stand right here. And then maybe some of the weavers. Chad, you come up. And any of your, yes, your brothers, come, maybe your brothers can come too. Yeah, why don't you come, Drew, and maybe some of the older ones too. Craig, why don't you come up, and David, is that enough? You know what, let's get maybe one or two more. Noah, and Ethan. I think that might be enough. We're going to do a little activity here. I've got four sentences that I've written down. I'm going to give one of these to Chris. Now, Chris, you or Christopher, you make sure that nobody else sees it. But once you read what's on this little piece of paper here, I want you to whisper it to Chad. And then Chad, you whisper it to Drew, Drew to Craig. Craig to David, and so on, until it goes all the way down to Ethan. Yes. Yes, that's right. It's called whispering. That's very good, because that's what I want to talk about this morning. So, well, let's get started. Okay, Christopher, I'm going to give this to you, and then you just whisper it. Make sure that, yeah, there you go. Okay, Christopher, I'll take that back. Thank you. Okay, Ethan, now you tell me. You can say it aloud. What did they say? Okay, Noah, try it one more time. So, okay, now say it again. What? Okay, well, Noah, what did you hear? Huh? I wish I could go somewhere tonight. I'm going to write that down. Because it's important that we remember what we said. I wish I could go somewhere tonight. All right. Wow. That's the first one. Let's try it again. Okay, Ethan. Say it again. One more time. What's on there on the Mary last night? All right. Great, let's do one more. This is even going better than I thought. Okay, one more. Okay, Ethan. Say it again. What when you're at church when it's raining? Stairs at the church when it's raining? Is that close enough? Okay. Thank you. Y'all can be seated. Y'all did great. I'm going to write these down because we'll go back to these later. Okay, so what we were doing, what was the name of this game? You said it before. Whispering, yes. Now, is it wrong to whisper? Not necessarily, no. If you're in a room, let's say you're in a room with a couple other people, and let's say one of them's sleeping. you have maybe a baby or something like that sleeping, then yeah, it's okay to whisper because you don't want to wake the baby up. But there are some times where you don't want to whisper, where whispering means that something bad is going on. Have you ever seen something where maybe somebody whispers something into my ear and my face kind of lights up, or somebody's face kind of lights up because you know they're hearing something really juicy? Yeah, sometimes people whisper like that. That's the whispering that I want to talk about today. And that's actually, the Bible talks about whispering. Did you know that? There are some verses in the Bible that talk about whispering. Let's listen, or let's talk with, or read a couple of them now. Proverbs 16:28. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Wow, that's pretty serious, isn't it? You have two friends that are really, really close to each other, and somebody starts whispering, and did you hear what this person did, or something like that, and somehow it causes friends to part ways. That's sad, isn't it? Well, that's what whispering can do. I'm going to read Romans 1:29. It talks about wicked people here. It says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and all those are wicked things there. And it finishes off with whispers. So it puts whispers in that same category with all of these wicked people. So whispering must be something that's pretty serious. And I think that God hates whispering if we read these verses. So what do we do to stop whispering? Have you ever had somebody whisper anything to you like that? What should we do? David. Okay, you can tell your parents. Yeah, that's good. I've got three things that I want you to remember. Number one, don't receive it. And what I mean by that is, well, actually, I'm going to change this. Make it a little bit more, a little bit clearer. Don't repeat it. If you hear somebody whispering and you think that they're trying to do somebody harm, or maybe just talk or gossip about somebody behind their back, don't repeat it. Because you know what happens so many times. People will whisper about somebody behind their back because maybe they want to see somebody get hurt, or maybe they're just have a grudge against somebody, and so they'll say something about them behind their back. A lot of bad reasons that people have for whispering. But anyway, when we hear whispering, we need to just don't repeat it. Because when you repeat it, you're just carrying on that same message that somebody was trying to give you. And remember the whispering game. When you hear or when you repeat something, usually you kind of lose something in translation when it goes from one person to another. And a lot of times, if you whisper, then maybe what might have been even true about somebody has some really funny details that really aren't true. And all of a sudden, a rumor can really get out of control, to where what really happened has nothing to do with what they're saying. All right, first thing, don't repeat it. Second thing is, don't believe it. And that's something you have to do in your own heart, because, again, so many times when something is repeated from person to person to person to person, then it becomes untrue. So many times that happens. And then the third thing, if you really need to get to the bottom of the truth, this is where you need to go. What is this? It's a horse, yes. And I cut a little hole in its mouth here. Has anybody ever heard the phrase, go straight to the horse's mouth? Raise your hand if you've heard something like that. Kind of? Okay, I've heard of a lot growing up. Maybe it's not as common around here. But what do we mean by going straight to the horse's mouth? It means going to the source. It means if you hear, let's say you hear something about someone, maybe somebody is saying something bad about someone, or maybe it's not necessarily bad, but maybe something they're going to do. Let's say you hear that somebody's moving away. Let's say that's Brother Carl. You hear a rumor that Brother Carl is, moving to Massachusetts. And kind of wonder, is that true? Because you didn't hear that from Carl. Well, what should he do? He should go straight to the horse's mouth. And he should talk to the source. Talk to the person that's being talked about. Go to Carl and say, are you moving to Massachusetts? And hopefully he'll say no. But that's very important. Sometimes we don't need to. Maybe it's something that we don't need to know one way or another. But if we need to know the truth, this is where you're going to need to go. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to go back to some of these things that we were talking about and what these boys were trying to repeat. And let's see what they really were. Okay, let's start with what's on there on the Mary last night. Well, what's the truth about Mary? Let's go straight to the horse's mouth. It says, I saw Mary at the fair on Friday night. Instead of what's on there on the Mary last night. See how whispering can really kind of make something kind of crazy? All right, that's one. How about this? I wish I could go somewhere tonight. Y'all did a real good job with this, boys. Let's go to the horse's mouth. Lisa's favorite cat ran away yesterday. Let's try it again. I wish I could go somewhere tonight. Lisa's favorite cat ran away yesterday. So, let's do the last one. I should have done four, but we had enough fun with three. But okay. The last one is stairs at the church when it's raining. Stairs at the church when it's raining. Let's go straight to the horse's mouth. Steve wears a dark shirt when it's raining. That's kind of close. That's closer than the other two. So, well, did we learn our lesson? All right. What are the three things when we hear whispering? What are the three things that we need to do? Somebody get the first two. Christopher. Don't repeat it. That's right. Because you don't know what you're repeating. And when you try to repeat it, you might just twist it a little bit to make it even less truth. The second one. Don't repeat it and don't... David. Don't believe it. That's right. Because you don't really know if something like that's true or not. And then what's the third thing? And remember the third thing? Cassandra. Go straight to the horse's mouth. Very good. Okay, that's all I had. Let's pray and then we can go back to our parents. Jesus, thank you for these precious little children. I pray that you would help us all to remember to know what to do when somebody's whispering to us. And help our hearts that we know when we have a whispering heart in our own selves, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this day and ask that you bless these children as they go about their day. In your holy name, amen. Thank you. You can go back to your parents.
Good morning, children. Well, it's children's lesson again. Aren't you glad? I am. Let's pray. Dear Lord, our kind Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for life. Thank you for these dear children. Bless them with minds to hear and hearts to keep the things that they are taught. Help me to be collected and to say well the things that you have given me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's start out, children, with singing a song. You all know this song, right? God is so good, He's so good to me. Do you know that song? It's an easy song. It's a little song we can sing. And I have some of the verses that we're used to singing, but then I added a few other ones. This is God is so good. He gives me life. That might be a one I just made up. He loves me so. He answers prayer. He makes things right. He makes me whole. I'll praise His name. And one more. I'll love Him so. I'll hold each one up as we sing them. Okay, here we go. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He gives me life. He gives me life. He gives me life. He's so good to me. He loves me so. He loves me so. He loves me so. He's so good to me. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. He makes things right. He makes things right. He makes things right. He's so good to me. He makes me whole. He makes me whole. He makes me whole. He's so good to me. I'll praise His name. I'll praise His name. I'll praise His name. He's so good to me. I'll love Him so. I'll love Him so. I'll love Him so. He's so good to me. Well, children, as I was thinking about what to give for a children's lesson, I had a lesson in my mind, and I still plan to talk about it, but I was also thinking a lot about our dear brother Mose. And we sang about God is so good. We sang about God answers prayer. Maybe you're wondering, does God really answer prayer? Weren't we praying all week that God will make Brother Mose better? We were. And we were hoping that He would. And some days it seemed like He was, and then He got worse again. And he became very, very sick. And if our dear brother is even alive at this time, unless God has worked a miracle, he may not live very long at all. And that's a difficult thing to think about. That makes us sad. We love Brother Mose. So maybe you're wondering, why didn't God answer our prayer when we asked him to make him better quickly, and instead he got worse? I'd like to talk about that a little bit. One thing we have to recognize is that we can't see everything. God can. We don't always know what's best for us. God does. And death is something that we can't always hold back, even by prayer. Sometimes God spares lives. Sometimes we can pray and God saves people's lives, but not always. God said that a man's life will be 70 years or maybe 80. Not many people live past 80. Very few live to 100. But nobody just keeps on living and living and not getting older. Now, to you children, maybe 80 years looks like a long, long, long time. But it's not as long as you might think. So we can't always hold back death by prayer. But God, in his goodness, has made a way for us to experience his goodness even through death. So, if our loved ones pass away, God is in that too. And I want to tell you, children, God worked much good in Brother Moses' life. God, many years ago, through his goodness, brought him out of darkness and put him into the light of Jesus. It's because of God's goodness that we even have known Brother Moses. We wouldn't even know him if it wasn't because of Jesus. In fact, we wouldn't have church here if it wasn't because of God's goodness. We wouldn't have these friends. And it's because of God's goodness that he laid it on Brother Moses' heart to be a preacher of God's word. It's because of his goodness that we have experienced love in our relationship with him. It's because of God's goodness that it's hard to see him so sick. I was thinking about it last night. I was thinking, I wish I could bless Brother Moses one more time and thank him for all that he has meant to me. And I had to accept the fact that I may not be able to. And then I was thinking, what would make him happiest? If I would bless him that way and thank him, that would make him happy. But what would make him even more happy is if you and I will love God, will love each other, and will walk in the light God gives us. That's what he would want of us. That's what would make him happiest. And we can do that. And I was encouraged with that thought. And you children know that Brother Moses has loved you very much. And you remember that. And if God still works a miracle and he can again sit with us, we will be very happy for that. But whatever God gives us, God is good. And we can walk in his goodness. And we're very thankful for that. Now I want to get into the lesson that I had planned all along. And it goes right with the opening. It goes with what I was just sharing with you. And that is to accept what God has done in making you. Accept that. Okay, every one of you children, you are either a boy or a girl. You know what you are. We know what you are. And God knows what you are. Because He made you that way in His goodness. The best thing for you to do is be glad for it and say, thank you, God. If you're a boy, thank you, God, for making me a boy. I will grow up to be a godly man. And if you're a girl, thank you, God, for making me a girl. I will grow up to be a godly woman. And beyond that, each one of us is made in a very unique way. Maybe you don't know what unique means. It means special, very different from other people. I can look at every one of you in your face, and you all look different from each other. Every one of you. And I love just the way every one of you looks. And God does too. He made no mistakes. God, when He made us, He gave us certain things that we are strong in and good at, and other things that we're just not as strong in and just not as good at as others are. I can think of those things for myself. There are things that I wish I could do this like Brother so-and-so. I wish I'd be as good at something as what he is. I wish I could just do that. But I can't. And there are other things I can do, but sometimes it seems like life isn't quite fair. Have you ever thought that? I wish God would have made me so-and-so instead of the way I am. Maybe you never thought that. But if you did, I want to tell you, God made you very special. And the best thing to do is say, thank you, God, for making me just the way you did. I will live for you. Does that make sense? If you're normal, like all of us are, then you probably struggle sometimes wishing that you could have it like so and so. Maybe you think, I wish my parents would do like they do, like those parents do. I wish they'd let me do this like my friends do. There again, God put you in the home that He did on purpose. God made your parents the way He did on purpose. And the best thing to do is say, God, thank you for my parents. Thank you for the home I'm in. I will do the best I can and serve you where I'm at. Now, I want to read a story yet. And after the story, you will be dismissed. And I don't think this story actually happened, but it's a very good reminder of how God loves us. And let me just read the story, and you listen to it, and I might talk a little bit about it afterwards. The title of the story is Just As You Are. Maybe you've heard it before, I don't know. I just heard it yesterday for the first time, and I thought it was a good story for you children today. A long time ago, in a land much like your own, there was a village, and in the village lived 5 orphans. A lonely family of fatherless children. They had banded together against the cold. One day the king learned of their misfortune and decided to adopt them. He announced that he would be their father and would come for them soon. When the children learned that they had a new father, and their father was the king, and the king was coming to visit, they went wild with excitement. When the people of the village learned that the children had a father, and their father was the king, and that the king was coming to the village, they were excited as well. They went out to see the children and told them what to do. "You need to impress the king," they explained. "Only those with great gifts will be allowed to live in the castle." The people didn't know the king. They just thought that all kings want to be impressed. So the children began preparing gifts to offer the king. They worked long and hard to be sure the king would approve. One of the children, who knew how to carve, decided to give the king a wonderful work of wooden art. He set his finger against the soft bark of the elm of the wood and whittled. The small blocks of wood came alive with the eyes of a sparrow or the nose of a horse. His sister decided to present the king with a painting that captured the beauty of the heavens, a painting worthy to hang in his castle. Another sister chose music as her way to impress the king. For long hours, she practiced with her voice and mandolin. Village people would stop at her window and listen as her music took wings and soared. Yet another child set out to turn the king's head with his wisdom. Late hours would find his candle lit and his books open. Geography, math, chemistry. The breadth of his study was matched only by the depth of his desire. Surely a king would appreciate all his knowledge. But there was one sister who had nothing to offer. Her hand was clumsy with the knife, her fingers stiff with the brush. When the little girl opened her mouth to sing, the sound was hoarse. She wasn't much of a reader. She believed she had no talent. And so she believed she had no gift. All she had to offer was her heart, for her heart was good. She spent her time at the city gates watching the people come and go. She would earn pennies to buy food for her brothers and sisters by grooming people's horses or feeding their animals. She was a simple, stable girl, but she had a good heart. She knew the beggars by name. She took time to pet each dog. She welcomed home the travelers and greeted the strangers. "How was your journey?" she would ask. "Tell me what you learned on your visit. How is your husband? Do you enjoy your work?" She was full of questions for people because her heart was big and she cared about people. They were all the same to her, the beggars and the rich. She cared for all of them just the way they were. But since the little girl thought she had no talent and no gift, she was afraid that the king would be disappointed. She remembered the villager's advice and set her mind about the task of making a gift for the king. She took a small knife and went to her brother, the carver. "Could you teach me to carve?" she asked. "Sorry," the young craftsman responded without looking up. "I've much work to do. I haven't time for you. The king is coming, you know." The girl put away her knife and picked up a brush. She went to her sister, the artist. She found her on a hill painting a sunset on a canvas. "You paint so beautifully," said the girl, who had no gift but a big heart. "I know," the painter answered. "Could you share your gift with me?" "Not now," the sister responded with eyes on her palette. "The king is coming, you know." The girl with no gift then remembered her other sister, the one with the song. "She will help me," she said. When she arrived at her sister's house, she found a crowd of people waiting to listen to her sister sing. "Sister," she called. "Sister, I've come to listen and learn." But her sister couldn't hear. The noise of the applause was too loud. With a heavy heart, the girl turned and walked away. Then she remembered her other brother. She took a book with small words and big letters and went to see him. "I have nothing to offer the king," she said. "Could you teach me to read so I might show him my wisdom?" The young sage-to-be didn't speak. He was lost in thought. The child with no gift spoke again. "Could you help me? I have no talent." "Go away," said the scholar, scarcely moving his eyes from the text. "Can't you see I'm preparing myself for the coming of the king?" And so the girl went away sadly. She had nothing to give. She returned to her place at the city gates and took up her task of caring for people's animals. After some days, a man in merchant's clothes came to the small town. "Can you feed my donkey?" he asked the girl. The orphan jumped to her feet and looked into the brown face of the one who had traveled far. His skin was leathery from the sun, and his eyes were deep. His kind smile warmed the girl's heart. That I can, she answered eagerly, leading the animal to the trough. Trust him to me. When you return, he will be groomed and fed. Tell me, she asked, as the donkey drank, have you come to stay? For only a while. I'm looking for someone. Are you weary from your journey? That I am. Would you like to sit and rest? The girl motioned to a bench near the wall. The tall man sat on the bench, leaned against the wall, closed his eyes, and slept. After a few minutes, he awoke and found the girl sitting at his feet, watching his face. She was embarrassed that he had caught her staring. She turned away. Have you been sitting there long? Yes. What do you seek? Nothing. You seem to be a kind man with a peaceful heart. It's good to be near you. The man smiled and stroked his beard. You are a wise girl, he said. When I return, we will visit more. The man did return, quite soon. Did you find the ones you were seeking? The girl asked. I found them, but they were too busy for me. What do you mean? The first one I came to see was a woodsmith rushing to complete a project. He told me to return tomorrow. Another was an artist. I saw her sitting on a hillside, but the people below said she did not want to be disturbed. The other was a musician. I sat with the others and listened to her music. When I asked to talk with her, she said she had no time. The other I sought, I had left. He has moved to the city to go to school. The girl's eyes widened as she realized who the man was. But you don't look like a king, she gasped. I try not to, he explained. Being a king can be lonely. People act strangely around me. They ask for favors. They try to impress me. They bring me all their complaints. But isn't that what a king is for? Asked the girl. Certainly, he responded. But there are times when I just want to be with my people. There are times when I want to talk to my people, to hear about their day, to laugh a bit, to cry some. There are times when I just want to be their father. Is that why you adopted the children? That's why. Adults think they have to impress me. Children don't. They just want to talk to me. They know that I love them just the way they are. But my brothers and sisters are too busy. They were, but I'll come back. Maybe they'll have more time another day. The girl hesitated. Sir, what about me? I have no gift, but I would like to be your child. The king smiled. My dear, you gave me the best gift of all. You gave your heart, your kindness, your time, your love. Of course you'll be my child. I love you, just the way you are. And so it happened that the children with many talents but no time missed the visit of the king, while the girl whose only gift was the gift of her heart became the child of the king. Well, children, I have to close. I probably took too much time, but the lesson this morning is to love God. Love God, love his people, love one another. That's what God wants of us. He's not looking to have us try to impress him. So just remember that, children. God loves each one of you very much, just the way you are. Thank you for your attention. You may go back to your parents.
All right. Good morning, children. Most of you I somewhat know. My name is DJ, and I have a few little children, and I haven't seen them for a few days. I talked to my little girl last night, and they're ready for me to come home. So, Lord willing, in a few hours, I'm trotting home. I need some help this morning, but first I'd like to read a couple verses. But before I do that, my lesson this morning is on words. It's on words that we speak, others hear, and they have an effect. And then I was thinking about it when our oldest was here and was a little boy, and with Brother Mose here, I was thinking, what did Mose often say to little children? Does anyone have anything that you remember that Mose would ask or say to you? Anyone think of anything? Uh-huh. How are you? Anything else? Good morning. That was the first thing that I thought of. And my dad taught me as a little boy that in the morning, you very clearly tell people good morning. Oh, good morning. What's so good about today? Look at him and say, good morning. What's that? Anything else? Anyone else? One thing that I remember that my little boy loved to come to church for, I do not think this is a good thing to come to church for, but Moses would ask, he would say, he'd pull a little container out of his pocket. Does anyone know what it may have had in it? What did he have in his container? M&M's. When we were here and Jonathan was little, everyone would line up and he'd say, do you want one of these? So words can be a blessing. They can make good memories and they can hurt. Words can hurt. Not only do they hurt for a moment, but they can hurt for a long time. Proverbs chapter 12, there's a verse, a couple of verses here. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. He that speaketh like there is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. I have a little object here. I asked one of my girls to make a heart, and then they got a little carried away scribbling. So here's a heart. The Bible here says, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There are those that speak words that are like the piercing of a sword. Has anyone ever told you something that hurt? I think everyone here, right? Somebody has said something and it hurts. What are some of those things that our friends or people around us could say and it hurts really deep? Does anyone have anything? Bad things? I hate you. Yes. You have anything? You forgot? Okay. We're not going to play with you right now. That's mine. Give it to me. Jerk it away from someone else. We're just going to play with our special friends. Has anyone ever heard that? Has anyone ever said that? A lot of children have. Does that feel good? Or making fun of people? Are there anyone sitting here that's 10 years old? Or older? When I was 10 years old, I have a very, very distinct memory. We went and we visited a church. And I was terrible in school. And this church had a church school. So all the children went to the same school. They all had good friends that were in their grade. And the boys that were my age, and when I was 10... they started talking about school thing, and they asked me a question. And I was the kind of person, I still am, somebody asked me a question, even if I knew the answer, it was gone. You know what the question was? It was a simple question. What is 3 times 4? Does anyone know what 3 times 4 is? Lots of you know what it is. What is it? Someone say. So what is 3 times 4? And I was like, this thing, I'm like, I don't know. You're 10 years old and you are so dumb. I am so smart. And they started making fun of me. And I remember standing there with this group of boys standing around me when I was 10. And it hurt. And then I went home, and for a long time after that, it still hurt. Like, these people just made fun of me. And they made a really big deal out of it. I learned what 3 times 4 was, and I remember 3 times... I got that one down pat really good. All right. Speaking words that are not righteous and that are not true are like piercing of a sword. I need a couple volunteers over 6 years old. And Noah needs to help. We talked about that earlier. You want to help? Come up here. One of you girls, can you come up? Any volunteers? Please, because girls are guilty in doing this too. Why don't you come? You help. Okay. So, here's the heart. And I'm going to take a heart since everyone can't see it. And I'm going to sit it down here. And I brought something else. My boy and I really have a lot of fun throwing darts. But we won't throw them, so we'll keep it safe. Okay. The Bible says there's words that are like the piercing of a sword. What happens when you cut something? Does that cut ever go away? It doesn't. It heals, but it never goes away. I cut the end of my thumb off right there one time and I glued it back on. It still has a scar. It will forever have a scar on the end of my thumb. All right, here. Take this and this. You can do it too and then I'll have you do it. Okay. Come over here to the heart. Now just hold it up and let go. It should. Okay. You do the same thing. I don't want to play with you. Run away. Come. Okay. Try again. It missed. Hold it up like straight up. Good job. All right. Here you go. It's coming apart. Let's try this again. Cardboard's a little hard. Hold it up a little higher. Okay, you can go sit down. There are words that are like piercing. They hurt. And they also leave long-lasting effects. Now, we can forgive people that hurt us. We can and should and need to apologize for speaking words that hurt other people. But they leave long-lasting effects. There are other words. These might just be little pricks. There's other words. This here, the piercing of a sword, is something that goes in and it sticks. And it hurts and it hurts and it hurts. See that? That can never be fixed. We could glue it. We could try fixing it. The lip of truth shall be established forever. If someone has a reputation of having a tongue that is like a sword that constantly cuts and hurts, you don't really want to be around them, do you? It doesn't feel good to get hurt all the time. But the lip of truth shall be established forever. When a child or an adult is known to speak words of blessing, words that are uplifting and encouraging, people know when they hear their name, they're like, that person speaks truth. That person speaks words that are a blessing. But a lying tongue is but for a moment. Has anyone ever lied? Just raise your hand so you're not lying now. More than likely, you've said something or insinuated something that was not true. It says, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Lies only work for a very short amount of time. And if you don't tell the truth, it goes bad fast. And a little lie stretches more and more and more. And before long, you're in this hole that you don't know how to get out of because you have so many lies. It's only for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but the countenance, counsel of peace is joy. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. Do you know that God is delighted and parents are delighted when our words are sweet, kind, encouraging, and true? So let's remember this week. Let's not be like one of these darts flying through the air, sticking into people's heart. Because we don't want that to happen to us either. All right, that's all I have. Why don't we pray? And then we can go back to our seats. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day. Thank you for each one of the children here. Pray that you would bless them. Help each one to learn to be, to speak words of blessing, words of encouragement, words that are uplifting to others, and to not have a tongue like a sword that hurts others, that pierces through their heart. Just pray that you would bless each one here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can go back to your seats.
Morning, boys and girls. Wow, it's good to see so many children here this morning. Are you all glad to be here? Good. I see many happy faces. That's good. I'm glad to be here too this morning. Ready for a children's lesson? I bet some of you were looking at this box up there and wondering what we're going to do with a case of eggs this morning. Is that what you were wondering? Okay, well, I'm gonna tape a verse on up here on the front for you to be looking at this morning. Some of you on the front can at least see this. It says, "Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample." Philippians 3:17. Now, ensample is a little bit of a different word than we're used to, but that means example. And that was Paul teaching. He said, "Be ye followers together of me." And then he said, "Mark them that walk like we do for an example for you." But Paul said, "Be ye followers together of me." Now, there was different times in the Bible where Paul would say, "Follow me." Okay? Did you ever say that to somebody? "Follow me." You probably did. Well, Paul, different times, said, "Follow me." One time he said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And Paul was confident enough in how he was living his life that it was safe for him to say, "Follow me and live like I do." Now, children, this morning, I'd like for us to think a little bit about this. If you would tell your friend, "Follow me, live like I do, do what I do, act like I do, respond to your parents like I do, when you with your friends, be like I am." Do you think it would be safe for your friends to follow your example and live their lives like you live your life? It's good for us to think about that, isn't it? It's good for us to think about that. What would their life look like if they would live their life like I do? It's good for me to ask that question, isn't it? Paul was at a place as a godly man who I believe walked close to God that he felt comfortable saying that. This morning, as I was thinking of the children's lesson and yesterday, I would like that to be a goal for every one of you, that you can grow up in life, someday be an adult like he was, and be able to say to other people, follow me. Follow me. Now, if that would be a goal for us to be like that, what do you think we should do today? Is there anything we should be doing today? Think it is? If you want to be like Paul someday and say, follow me as I follow Christ, do you think we ought to start when we get big like Paul was, or do you think we ought to start now? What do you think? Somebody tell me. Shall we start now? Shall we start now? Are you doing that already? I hope so. It's good to be encouraged that way. Be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Paul said this. That's a good verse. And the question is, can we say that? And it's a good goal for us to have. So this morning I want to talk to us, and I want to think about being an example. Now I'd like to tell you, children, something that I saw last Sunday when I was sitting here at church, that I'm guessing none of you saw it. But it made me smile inside when I saw this. You want to know what it was? We were singing, and I was sitting toward the back. I don't know who was leading the singing, but whoever was leading singing had everybody stand to their feet. And we were singing a song of worship, and I was sitting in the back. And Carl Schwarzentruber was sitting in front of me, and then it was Steve. And he was holding little Russell. How many of you know little Russell? You know little Russell? Do we all like little Russell? We all like babies, right? Especially the girls. And we were singing and we were standing and we were singing a worshipful song. And after a while, Carl's hand went up. He was worshiping God. His hand went up like this. And I was standing back there and I saw little Russell. Steve was holding little Russell like this. Little Russell, he was looking up at Grandpa like this. And what do you think little Russell did? Caleb, what did Russell do? He put his hand up. He put his hand up like this. And he was looking at Grandpa. And I said in my heart, that picture right there is worth 1,000 words. That picture is worth 1,000 words. Little Russell, he was looking up at Grandpa. And what was he doing? Was he following Grandpa's example? Yes, he was. He was following Grandpa's example. Now, do you think you children, you're two places. Sometimes you're looking up at others for an example of people that are living right. Right? You do that? You look, do that sometimes? You have an older sibling and you're watching what they do? And do you sometimes do what they do? Then there's another aspect of that. How many of you have a younger sibling in your home? A brother or sister that's younger than you? I bet more than half of you do. I did when I grew up and I had brothers that were older than me. And your younger siblings are looking up to you for an example. Just like sometimes you look up to them for an example. And you don't even think of it. It just happens. That's what was happening with little Russell. He wasn't even thinking of it. He was just doing what Grandpa did. And many times, especially with children, they look and they just do what others do because they're being a good example. Is it important that we learn to live right? Live our lives right because we have others that are following our example. It's very important. I wonder how many of you know the song. I don't know if we're going to sing it, but how many of you know the song Somebody Follows You? You ever hear the song Somebody Follows You? I'm going to read some of the verses. This is what it says. Brother, along the highway of life, strive to be good and true. Take Jesus with you and aid in the strife. Somebody follows you. Little you think when you turn from the right. Who sees the things you do? But others watching you by day and by night. Somebody follows you. Never forget that the Lord keeps his own. So to his word be true. Many are longing the way to be shown. Oh, let them follow you. Somebody follows you, children. All right, I'm going to do a little object lesson. I don't know how well some of you in the back will be able to see. Maybe in time I'll have some of you come front where you can see a little better what I'm going to do here. To illustrate the importance of being a good example. I don't have eggs here, but I do have some milk. Now, Now, children, as I'm getting ready here, I just want you to know that I believe as you grow up in life, I know that it will be this way. Many, many times in life, you will have the opportunity to be an example, as I said, and you will have the opportunity in life to do what's right, even if nobody else does. That's one thing I would really like for each one of you to rivet in our hearts and minds this morning, that as you have opportunity, as you're growing up, even as children, when you know what's the right thing to do, and many times, even amongst your peers, they may do things that you know aren't acceptable, that your parents wouldn't appreciate, or things that are wrong, and you have that conscience in your heart saying, don't do it. That's not the good thing to do. And other people do it, and then you will have to decide what you're going to do. And many, many times, I believe in life, as you grow up, all of you children will have the opportunity, even though others do things that you know aren't acceptable, and your conscience is telling you, and you stand up and do what's right, and you will be blessed. Blessed are the pure in heart. You can be a blessed person by doing what's right and keeping your heart pure. Now, why don't the front row, you children, you come stand up here at the front. You want to stand up here around the table? You can stand up here around the table. Can you see here what I'm doing? Why don't the second row come and stand around behind? You're just a little bit older. We usually sit that way. And the third row, and stand around here and watch what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you an example, children. And it isn't always this way. Now, one of the things that's a real blessing is we can come to church and we can interact with our friends, friends with a lot of the same values, and we do the same things, and we believe a lot of the same things. And so it's a blessing to be at church. But even at church sometimes, you're going to interact with friends that do things that you know aren't acceptable. That's just, we wish it wouldn't be that way, but that's just a life's reality. Okay? I want us to be thinking about that. So it's important, even at church, to be willing to stand up and do what's right. You know, we have some rules here at church, don't we? Do we have some rules here at church? Somebody tell me, what age is it that children are supposed to go through the line with their parents? Does anybody know? Caleb? Nine and under, I think, are supposed to go through with their parents, right? So we have a rule, right? Is it right to do it that way? And we would all say yes. Is it wrong if we're nine or under and our friends say, let's just go, our parents aren't watching right now? Is that the right thing to do? Do you think sometimes maybe you'll be tempted to do that? I mean, those are things that happen sometimes in real life situations. Or there's other rules that we have here. After we're done with fellowship meal, there's several places you're allowed to be. Some places you're not allowed to be. And sometimes there's going to be some children that say, my parents don't care. They're not going to do anything about it. Let's just go run in the sanctuary anyway. Or maybe they just take off and do it. And something in your heart is saying, no, we decided not to do that. And then you'll have to make a decision, right? And it's okay just to stand up and say, I'm not going to do that. It's okay. That's actually learning to be like Paul, being an example. Stand up and say, I'm going to do what's right. Even so, doesn't matter. Even if all my friends do something that I shouldn't do, I'll stand up and do what's right. And you will be blessed. Many times that's going to happen. I'm going to put a little food coloring in this milk. Okay? What's going to happen when I put this in here? Blue. Think it's going to turn blue? Okay, try not to shake the table. Maybe nobody touches the table. That way it won't shake. It'll probably work better if we do it that way. So we'll put a couple drops. And this represents maybe a friend or somebody you're around, an example of doing things that's not acceptable. Maybe it's running when we're not supposed to, or being in an area of the building out back where we're not supposed to. Some of your friends, those your peers, will do those kind of things. And there's a mark there, right? That's green food coloring. What color is this? Red? Okay, and this also is an example of, maybe it's yellow. Let's see what color it gets. Well, it's kind of between yellow and red, isn't it? Okay, leaves a mark. And that's kind of how it is when we do things that we know are wrong. And you are standing there and you know what is the right thing to do. This Q-tip represents you. Now you have others that are doing things that you know are not acceptable, and you're looking on and your conscience is telling you one thing, but your peers are telling you another thing. What are you going to do? Do you think you can make a difference? This Q-tip represents you. And let's put this right in the middle and see what it does. Does it cause a reaction? Does it cause people to do something? Yeah, it does. Did this Q-tip right down in the middle of even your peers, which represents you doing things that are wrong, did it make something happen? It did. It did. And what do you think happens with your peers when you stand up? It doesn't matter what others do. You stand up and do what is right, irregardless. Do you think God can use you if you do what's right, even when others don't? Should we do it one more time? Why don't we try it one more time? We'll do it one more time. And that way it'll rivet in your minds. And I want you children to think about this. Think about how God can use you to make a difference. What are some other things sometimes that children are tempted to go along with their friends and do? Anybody have any examples? Some other things. Let's just say you're out at the park or your friend's place. Maybe you're playing ball. And let's just say one of you hits the ball. And this collaring all represents your friends. And one of you accidentally hits a ball and goes into the neighbor's window and breaks the window. And now all of a sudden, you children are responsible for what happens. And you know what, children? Children that aren't following their conscience and doing what they know is right, many times respond wrong to those kind of situations. And it might be tempting for children to say, let's just leave. Let's not tell anybody that it happened. Can we all agree that we're not going to tell anybody what has happened? And one of you has in your heart a conscience saying, that's not right. And even though your friends all choose to do what's wrong, and here you have your friends that decide that, and you come down and make a difference, what do you think that does in the hearts of your friends? You can be an example, right? You can all be like this Q-tip and make a difference. You can be an example. Now, we don't want to make a mess here, do we? Think I can put it in there like that? Without making a mess. All right, you children can all sit down here in your seats where you were sitting before. Can you do that? A few more things I'd like to say to you yet. Thank you. Okay. But, Joan, I'd just like to say something to you yet. When I grew up at home, I had two older brothers, and I had two younger brothers, and I had two younger sisters. And, you know, Joan, as I said before, it's very typical for us as children to look up at those that are older to us and just want to follow them and do what they did. Okay? When I was growing up at home, I had a brother who was about 3 years older than me. And I looked up to him and I valued what he did. I was innocent, more innocent than him probably. And what he said I should do, I just did it because he was my hero. He was my hero. And that's often how it is. We follow those that are older than us. And one time my brother was trying to start the lawnmower. Maybe some of you maybe heard this story before. I don't know. But my older brother was trying to start the lawnmower. And he knew a lot about more about lawnmowers than I did because he was older than me. And he wondered why the lawnmower didn't start. And so he took a wire off the top of the coil of the lawnmower. Most of you probably don't know what the coil is, but it's part of the electrical thing that goes over to the spark plug. He took the wire off of that and stuck a big long nail into there. And he said to me, I was his innocent little follower. He said to me, put your finger on that nail, and when I try to start it, let me know if it vibrates. And so I just looked at my big brother, and I was following my big brother, and I put my finger on there, and he tried to start it. And what do you think happened? Can you tell me what happened? I got shocked! And I hollered and I jumped, and he said, okay, well, I know that's not the problem. Now, we all would say, well, that was not very kind of him to do that, was it? And that was okay. Sometimes children do that. It wasn't okay. But I came to the place where I was okay with it. But what am I really saying? I just simply followed him innocently. I want you children to remember that somebody always follows you in life. If you have a younger sibling, it's very likely they're looking up to you for an example. And what kind of an example are you going to be to your sibling? That is the question. And this morning, I would like us to realize that more is caught than is taught. And you can be an example. Did any of you girls ever bake cookies or bake a cake? Are any of you girls old enough that you bake cookies or bake a cake? Okay, so when you learned to bake a cake, did you just one day go to the cookbook and read how to bake a cake and bake it? Is that how you did it? Or did you watch your mom bake cakes and then your mom helped you bake a cake? Which way was it? I think I know how it was, because your mom was an example of how to do it, right? Or we could say to you young boys, did any of you ever change oil in a car? You can read from the owner's manual how to change oil in a car, or do you watch your dad do it? We watch, because we're all being an example. We're all being an example in one way or another. And it's very, very important. Now, it's first of all, the most important that we live our lives right, because God is watching, right? And God sees everything that we do, and we want the blessing of God in our lives. So we want to live right and do what's right, act what's right, because God is watching. But then secondly, it's because we are being an example of those that follow us. Somebody follows you and watches the things that you do. And I just want to encourage all of you children this morning that all of you, most of you, have a younger sibling or someone younger than you that is watching how you live. And it just is that way. Just like little Russell was looking up at his grandpa and he learned to do what his grandpa was doing. It's that way for each of you children as you have others watching the way you live your life. So I want to encourage you children, let's be young children of integrity and do what's right. Thank you for your attention. You may go back to your parents.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.